T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Big day in Yankee land. Gerrit Cole gets the monster deal. The Yankees get their front of the line ace starting pitcher, as good as it gets, one of the best in all baseball. To break it all down, our Yankee insider, Sweeney Murdy, live from the winter meetings in San Diego. Sweeney, big day. What's happening, brother?
JJ, how you doing?
Sweeney, I'm doing fine, and this is a guy we know the Yankees have been in pursuit of for quite a while. They wanted to draft him. They do draft him in 2008. He ends up going to UCLA. Wanted to trade for him in 2017. And after all these years, the Yankees finally land Gerrit Cole.
Yeah, you know, Brian Cashman has been calling him the white whale, his white whale, trying to finally get him. And this time, the only impediment was, you know, was somebody else going to offer the same or more as far as dollars? And he didn't have to worry about, the trade talks and things like that as with Pittsburgh last time. I think one important aspect here that I've kind of been coming back to in my mind here in the hours since we learned that he was going to sign is that the Yankees, when they drafted Cole, as you talked about, and didn't sign him, there seemed to be some disconnect there, but there was no bad blood. There was no public animosity. The Yankees kept up a relationship with Gerrit Cole. They followed him in college in case they had a chance to draft him. They obviously didn't. He went higher than that. They kept Damon Oppenheimer, the vice president of scouting, who drafted him and developed that relationship early. No ill will towards Gerrit Cole, kept up a relationship with him and his father over the years, and would routinely stay in touch. And the money got Gerrit Cole here, but the Yankees didn't burn any bridges. They didn't put it to the point where, you know, you had a player who would pull a Ken Griffey Jr. and say, no, I got kicked out of the clubhouse when I was a kid. I would never play for the Yankees. And this was just a small but significant piece to the whole puzzle of Gerrit Cole coming to the Yankees, that relationship wasn't broken at a point in time when maybe they had a reason to be upset about it but didn't do anything about that.
Sweeney, obviously there was heavy interest. The Dodgers wanted him. The Los Angeles Angels wanted him. Who wouldn't? He's one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. How surprised are you, though, that he ends up getting 9 years?
Well, I'm not surprised today, but if you'd asked me 3 days ago before Steven Strasburg signed, I would have been surprised. When Strasburg signs for 7 years, I think you knew that it had to go to 8. And when the Dodgers and Angels aren't backing off of 8, I think you had to know that somebody had to go to 9 to get the deal done. And, you know, listen, the Yankees were willing to do that. And it didn't mean they were going to get him. Cliff Lee was in the exact same position where the Yankees offered more. They actually offered 2 years more. The AAV was a little bit less, but they guaranteed more money, signed him for longer term, and he still said no, went to the Phillies. It doesn't mean you're going to get the player, but what it showed is that the Yankees put him in the same category as they put Cliff Lee, as they put CC Sabathia, as they put Mike Messina. This is the guy you want. Put all your chips in, make the best offer money-wise, and hope he chooses you. And this time he did.
Sweeney, I guess that's the hope, right? That he can be this team's version of CC Sabathia, a guy who's going to be here for a long period of time, a guy you can count on to be that game-one starter without hesitation in a postseason series. And the Yankees have had success with the big free agent pitcher, if you think about it. Tanaka, been very successful. Messina, very successful. Sabathia, very successful. I mean, you can find the Carl Pavanos and the Jared Wrights of the world. But I think all in all, this like misconception that's out there that, oh, the Yankees don't hit on the big free agent pitcher. In reality, Sweeney, it's really not the case.
Yeah, I mean, and I wouldn't have called Jared Wright at that point in his career. We wouldn't have called a big free agent pitcher. He was not this caliber. Carl Pavano was the top of that year's class, and other teams, you know, the Red Sox, the Tigers, the Mariners, all teams were willing to give him the same amount of money that the Yankees were putting up at that time. So other teams could end up with the same mistake. But you're right. When they play at the top of the market and go after those guys, they generally haven't made that mistake. It's the other reactionary things. Where they've had a harder time is trying to identify a guy who could turn into that when they're trying to trade for a Jeff Weaver, a Javi Vasquez, a Sonny Gray, and guys who don't quite move up to that next level, which is what you projected. James Paxton's come pretty close. But even if you just look at who the Yankees were this past year, when you're talking about trying to get the number one guy, you said, if Luis Severino can be healthy, if James Paxton moves up there, you know, if Masahiro Tanaka throws one of those games, you had some question as to who could be. You had a lot of guys who might have been a number one pitcher and could have pitched like it, but that was just kind of a hope. Now here you got a guy who's where you're slotting him in, and everybody else who can pitch to that level. If they do that, now you've got a bunch of guys at the top of that rotation. Guarantees nothing. The Cliff Lee, Roy Halladay, Cole Hamels, Roy Oswalt Phillies got bumped off in a five-game division series by an 83-win Cardinals team or 80-something win Cardinals team, lesser team. That stuff happens. But you're giving yourself a chance. And when you're signed for 9 years, you're giving yourself multiple chances. I mentioned this at the end of close to the end of the show last night with Ed Coleman. A caller talked about it. He kept throwing the word dynasty out there. He says he kept seeing that the Yankees had a dynasty if Cole would sign. That's a dangerous word to throw around. We've watched baseball get played here for the last 20 years, and the Yankees won one World Series. Well, they have been contenders for almost every one of those years. Some years they weren't good enough to win, but others they were, and they just didn't. Even if you put all these pieces together, I think it's a mistake to think that a dynasty is that easy to come by, and that if the Yankees win one World Series, let's say, that they're guaranteed to win three of the next four after that. It's just so much harder to do than it was for various reasons. They're giving themselves a chance here. They're giving themselves multiple chances here by signing Gerrit Cole for a long period of time. And over the next 4 to 5 years, in the meat of that early part of that contract, you're going to find yourself with some opportunities. But I just think it's very dangerous to look at the Yankees or any team and say, you're going to win multiple World Series championships. They've proven how hard it is just to win one.
So, a great point, because look at the Chicago Cubs. How many people thought that Cubs team was destined to win multiple championships? Even the Astros, as much success as the Astros have had, they lose Game 7 in the World Series last year. They only have the one title. The Red Sox, with the team they had, you're thinking they're poised to win multiple. And for the Yankees, look, they have not won now in over a decade. There are folks now dying for that World Championship, and I think for some fans, Sweeney, they're going to look at the contract and they're going to say, well, it needs to lead to multiple championships. I don't see it that way. If Gerrit Cole for 5 or 6 years is one of the better pitchers in all of baseball and he's going to live up to the back of the baseball card, be that guy that you can count on in regular season starts, in postseason starts, and yeah, he delivers in the postseason. That, to me, is going to determine whether or not he lives up to the billing, not the idea of how many championships necessarily. I think the Yankees win.
Yeah, and I think the Yankees are held to a different standard. I mean, you talked about the Red Sox, Astros, everybody else. If they win one, it's okay, that's great. But, Yankee fans are expecting, because championships come in bunches. The 2009 World Series championship is the only standalone World Series championship in Yankee history. Every other one was grouped together, whether it was a combination of, three in a row or three out of four or whatever it was, or five in a row in the older days. That was a standalone championship, and I think that is a product of what baseball has become, how it's been collectively bargained to set up the process, and how much harder it's gotten. I don't think if the Yankees win a World Series again anytime soon, I don't think it's any sort of given that they're putting multiples next to that, and that it's part of any sort of dynasty. I'll say it the same way. They've shown how hard it is just to win one.
Sweeney Murray joins us from the winter meetings in San Diego. And Sweeney, as far as the rest of the rotation, does this Gerrit Cole move now lead most likely to the trade at some point of J-Hap?
I think at some point it might be an inevitability. I don't think it's something that they have to do right now. I think Hap can still hold value to them. I made this point earlier. Brian Cashman said right away when the 2018 season ended that he was going to trade Sonny Gray, right? Well, everybody knew he wanted to trade it. How long did it take to finally do it? It took a very long time. They were looking for their best deal. So they didn't see, okay, we're definitely trading this guy, and it's going to happen just like that. I think we all know that, that you can't have too much, and one injury might alter what you're looking at. But I think the reality of it is the Yankees are going to find themselves in a position probably where they'll have enough pitching options, and Hap's salary is one they could probably try to lose and save a little bit of money on that side. And we'll see where the best value comes in. There's when the dust settles from all the other free agent pitchers that are still out there, and if our team's still looking to fill out rotations, a guy who has a two-year, Hap has an option. A vesting option, but let's just call it 2 for $34. Even if the Yankees pay some of that down, you tell me there aren't multiple options that can be had for a team to pay for 2 years, and I'll make up a number, $26 million for a starter who takes the ball as frequently as Jay Happ does. I would think that there are possibilities out there. So even if it is the inevitability, I don't think it means that it has to happen right away.
So anyway, with the Yankees knowing they were going to be in on Gerrit Cole, did that basically lead to the sayonara for Didi Gregorius, or is it the fact that the Yankees are so well-stocked in that infield, being able to move Gleyber Torres over the short, having DJ LeMahieu, who is a natural second baseman, the emergence of Urshela and Duhar, you name it. Was it the quality of players that led to Didi's departure, or the idea that the Yankees were ponying up here on Cole?
I think they certainly had Gerrit Cole in their sights and all that money and all the attention going in that direction. But if they wanted Didi Gregorius, they would have made some sort of effort to retain Didi Gregorius, and that really wasn't there. So I think they, on top of what they were doing with Cole, they did have this fallback that you're talking about. You just laid it out. That's exactly what they have going for them, what their options are. So they're comfortable with that, and then trying to tack on another, Didi got $14 million from the Phillies, trying to tack that back into your payroll number. And we just talked about the potential to trade Jay Happ is mostly, it's not just numbers, it's, you can subtract that payroll number. Well, trying to fit Didi's number back in there when you have these other options, I don't think it made sense. I think metrically, I think that they thought Didi's defense didn't stack up as well as it could have. The eye test he passes, but metrically, and you can argue the flaws and all that too, but metrically, he wasn't as strong. So I think it was easier for them to turn the page off of that, knowing what else they had, namely Gleyber Torres as a fallback.
So in the final one here, and there's been a concern amongst Yankee fans that call my show, that call other shows, about the Yankees, quote-unquote, acting like the Yankees, and Hal Steinbrenner acting like his father. Is it fair to say that Hal and the Yankees pulled the page out of the George Steinbrenner playbook here, giving Cole this big contract?
I've never bought into that aspect of it. I think the rules are a lot different. This isn't 25 years ago when only a couple of teams could afford a big contract like that. And I just think the CBA has changed dramatically from when George, quote unquote, acted like George. I just don't think it's the same landscape. So I don't think it's fair to compare that. But Hal Steinbrenner was pretty much in charge when they signed CC Sabathia and when they signed Masahiro Tanaka. And don't forget, just because the results weren't what they didn't land in championships, in one winter they signed Tanaka, Ellsbury, Beltran, and McCann. Lot of big dollars, all in the same offseason. It was a huge expenditure because it ended in an 85-win team. That's acting like George. That was plenty of money, but I don't like that comparison. I think it's a much different landscape. And I think at the time, you know, he's just very judicious, I think, in the times when he's willing to go do that. And this is, you know, I don't think this was anything about acting like his father, or I think he just saw the opportunity when everything finally lined up, when you had a guy at the right age and at the right point in his career of dominance and showing the type of stuff that you wanted here, everything else about him that you wanted here, the ability to knock more money off the books next year with Tanaka and Paxton, and having that spot open up where you know, next year you're going to need to make a move to get a front of the rotation pitcher. Well, here he is right now, and you have the money to make that maneuver happen. I think all of that lined up well, because we've seen him spend a lot of money on players in the past. Just because it didn't end in a championship doesn't mean that it was un-George-like or George-like or whatever phrase you want to use.
Sweetie, well said. Appreciate a couple of minutes. Keep up the outstanding work out in San Diego. We will be listening. We will be watching. We will chat soon. All right, my man?
Thanks, JJ.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.